Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Today's scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. God's word for God's people.
Thank you, Jesus.
And now we'll have our sermon, Life and Death, by Pastor Gary Dyer.
Thank you, God. I'm excited to be here. How about you? Come on, glory to God. Don't be afraid to praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to thank Him. I just thanking God that I'm alive. Is anybody with me? Amen. The words I speak today, you say, well, I've read that before, but I want to talk to you about life experiences. And that's why I chose those words today. I've been praying about that, but you'll have to forgive me. My voice is a little bit down, but I tell you, from going from Seymour Hospital to Columbus Hospital to the VA Hospital, amen, to back to the Word. Let me quote this, John chapter 1 and 1. Thank God for the radio audiences. This is important today that we hear and listen to what the Word says, not what Gary says, but what the Word says. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Think about that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now think about that, and the Word was God. I mean, everything is a Word. When we're singing, it's Word. War was started by words. We get up thinking about words. We go to bed thinking about words. When you pray, you're speaking words. Is anybody with me today? Laying in the hospital, I chose those words because everybody in the emergency room knew about Jesus when I was in there first, because I said, I'm on fire, and I began to holler, Jesus, you're my ever-present help in the time of trouble. And when you see those words, life and death, you hear so many people say, well, my foot is killing me. I said, don't say that. You don't want your foot to kill you, do you? I hear it a lot of times. My back is killing me. I said, I don't want my back to kill me. You understand what I'm saying today? I've learned through going through pain and can't figure out what's going on. I began to go back to the Word, and I said, I am healed by the stripes upon His precious back. The doctor said you need surgery. The doctor over here said you need this, and people say you got to have this, and if you don't have this, this is going to happen. And I went back to the Word, and I said, wait a minute. Man, what I'm speaking is life. Is anybody with me? Amen. I'm talking about personal examples. I began to speak life into my body. I spoke every day. I speak life back into the organs in my body. And I speak death to afflictions and infections and anything else that comes with it. Does this make sense today? What we say is important. And I've said things that I don't like, that I'm trying to change it now. Does this make sense? I said, you need Jesus. Instead of saying, you need this, you need Jesus. Four-way stops, I tell people, you need Jesus. Somebody the other day used the international peace sign. I put it backwards so it don't bother people. I said, you need Jesus. Does that make sense? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. In the book of James, it said the tongue can be set on fire from the pit of hell. So we can curse people. We can love people. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it said, I could heal the sick. I could raise the dead. I could cast out demons. I could do all that, brother. But if I don't love you guys, I don't have nothing. Does that make sense? I got up this morning and I told my son, you need to take me to Trinity. I got to be there. They called me on the phone, said, harvest is closed. We can't get there. I said, I'm sorry about that, but I got an obligation. I need to be at Trinity. Other people can't make it, of course. The weather's bad. Some people said, well, this will give me a chance to rest. I always told people, I said, tell that to Jesus. So whatever we speak, we're eating the fruit of it. Does that make sense? My neighbors, I used to not curse the neighbors, but I said, man, they're out of their mind. They're crazy. Because a lot of times they would tell me where to go, next door. And they'd say, you get the... I said, you nasty woman. Don't take offense, ladies. But, see, I didn't realize what was going on in the house. There was meth going on and stuff like that. I didn't realize that. All I heard what was coming out of here. And then the neighbor lady showed up and said, sign a petition to throw that family out of our neighborhood. I live in a cul-de-sac. I probably told you this before. And she said, no, everybody signed it but you. And I said, I can't sign your paper. How can I win them to Jesus by throwing them out of my neighborhood? Does this make sense? Hallelujah. And she said, I knew you wouldn't sign it. Somebody passed the test today. If they call you up and say, I was at the meeting house today. Jesus is looking at your heart. He's not looking at Pentecostal or Methodist. Don't take offense. Or Nazarene. He knows those names are there. But what he's looking at is your heart. Does that make sense? And if I don't love people, then I don't have nothing. And I'm trying to love folks. Does this make sense? You need Jesus. Amen. So by going to different hospitals and listening to different people, doctors with lots of knowledge. I love doctors, but they said, well, you got to have this and you got to have that. And sometimes it brings fear and it brought doubt. But I said, wait a minute. I was sitting in my bedroom and I was crying. I broke out and started crying. And my wife walked in and said, what's the matter? I said, I can't help it. I'm not worth anything anymore. What am I doing? I don't know if I could preach anymore. Is anybody with me? I was crying. And you know what she did? She walked over and laid hands on my head. And she began to pray. She began to speak what I needed to hear. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon. See, a lot of weapons were attacking my body. And she said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And any tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn it. We condemn it now. Nothing against people, but we condemn the word. Does anybody make sense? The word. I was sitting at Harvest one day, and I walked in, and I was a little bit late. I wasn't ministering that day, and I sat in the back row. And while I sat in the back row, I sat there, and all of a sudden, I had a vision, and the whole sanctuary was filled with words. Same as this building. I mean, if you reached out, you would hit a word. And they were red and yellow and green. And then a lot of them were black. And I thought, what's wrong with me? I shook my head. I said, wow, what's wrong? And then I began to pray about it. I began to see that building is full of words. And those black words are not good. Is anybody with me? I don't like that person over here on the left. She never smiles. She didn't shake my hand at the door. What's wrong with her? Well, my neighbor got saved, got delivered from meth at the old alley when Wilson was there, Rick Wilson. And they would call me up. My sons were little then. Justin and Jeremiah were. They growed up and then went to Iraq and everywhere else, but they were young boys then, and I'll tell you, I'm about to shout. Hallelujah. She called up and she said, Can I take your sons to get a Happy Meal at McDonald's today? I said, sure. Is anybody with me? So we're out of the neighborhood. Take them to McDonald's. Get rid of the family. Take them to church. Wow, I'm learning through pain and suffering a lot of times that how important this is. And it said in Isaiah 55 and 11, listen to this. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It's going to do something. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it. So when you send a word out, it's got to go. If you love somebody, you'll send the word out, and it prospers. But if you send a word out that's not good, it prospers also. You can curse somebody. You can bless somebody. I know y'all don't do that. But I'm just saying, I'm learning things through pain. Does that make sense? I went for my fourth veterans exam yesterday up in Greensburg. And they were working on me. He said, does that hurt? I said, yes, but I'm dealing with it. Well, does this hurt? I said, yes, but I'm dealing with it. They're trying to tell me that I brought things back from Vietnam that are still there. I said, well, that was 1968 I got out of that place. But there's stuff lingering. Stuff are lingering, hanging around. I said, I don't want it to hanging around because I begin to read the word, brothers and sisters. It says he was wounded. I quoted it this morning at 4:30 this morning. He was wounded for my transgressions. Think about him. He was wounded for my transgressions. Amen. Pal, he was bruised for my iniquities. My chastisement, Jesus took it on the cross. But he said, by the stripes upon his back we are what? I like participation. What are we? We're healed. Does it say that? You read it, Isaiah, what is it, 53 and 5? Wounded, bruised, beaten beyond recognition, but by those stripes we are healed, brother. That ought to bring a shout. When you go home today, you say, man, I'm healed. The word says I'm healed. Come on, somebody. The word says I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm saved. The blood says I'm saved. Only by the shedding of blood is the removal of my sins. He was covered with his own blood. So we can be covered by the blood today. The Son of God become the Son of Man. So the sons of men could become the sons of God. You're a daughter and a son of God Almighty. That means you're worth something. You're important. All these little fellows over here are little gals too. You're important. You're in the meeting house today, but God looking at you and he said, they're there. Thank you for being in my house today. This was God talking. Thank you for being in my house today. Amen. So when you quote the word, excuse me, when things ain't going right, I go back to the Word. I'm laying, I said, oh God, you are God that healeth all my diseases. I'm just telling you, I've been speaking those words for a long time, but now they mean something. They mean something. Does that make sense? Pain caused me to say, oh God, you're the God that healeth all my diseases. In the emergency room, I wasn't crying for the doctor. I said, oh God, I need you. I could just see him down there looking and say, there's that guy again. Gary W. Dyer standing in need of prayer. You know how many times that I've cried out in pain? You know, in when I wasn't in a foxhole, I was drinking for courage and I was smoking because I thought everybody else was. And if I couldn't do anything else but drink and smoke, and it was bad. But in a foxhole, when things got bad, you know who I was crying out to? Oh, God, did that one hit this hole? Did they hear me on the radio with that one? That's a little loud, wasn't it? I'm used to being loud. If I went to the library, they'd say, shh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so thankful to tell you today that I'm glad that I can stand up and just be alive, just to walk and function like a man. I don't know if you understand those things, but it's made me more thankful that God, Almighty God, took all that on the cross, Jesus did, so I can stand here today and give him the credit. Thank you, God. My rifle didn't get me out of Vietnam. It was God. It wasn't the hand grenade. It was Jesus. Because when I couldn't get out, I said, God, I need help. I don't want to die in this. I said, hell hole, but I don't want to die in this place. And he said, okay. Not today. I'm facing death pretty soon. I don't know when, but he said, not today. Am I making any sense? Is it all right? God's good. Do you know he's in Vietnam? The same as he's here today at Trinity. Wow. Wow. Reach out and touch someone. I was praying. I got here early. I said, breathe on us, Lord. Breathe on us, Lord, so we could be revived. Now I get to go to church. I don't have to go to church. Come on, somebody. I don't have to go to church. I woke my son up. I said, take me to church in your Jeep. You got four-wheel drive. He said, okay. I get to go to church. There'll be a day when maybe we won't have the privilege to get to go to church. When I went back to Vietnam in 2004, I had to sneak to get to church. If I got caught, they would throw me in jail for just having the Bible. This same book right here that I'm talking about today, if they'd have caught me, I took this one back with me. It's falling apart, but I've had it since a long time. Not that it's special, but it is special to me. But if they caught me with that, they would put me in jail. But listen to this. I had an interpreter with me. His name was Andrew. So if I spoke English, he spoke Vietnamese. And he told me this. He said, Gary, you don't worry. Because I was a little nervous the first time. He said, you don't worry because if they catch you, they throw you in jail. He said, me? Are you listening? They will go home and beat me, beat my wife, and beat my child. But he was more ready to go. Ooh, ooh. Do you understand, saints, how good it is to be in the house today? I'm not telling you I'm perfect at it, but I'm getting more thankful. I laid out in that bed and I said, thank you for a warm bed, and I don't have a sandbag for a pillow. Thank you, God. Thank you for a shower that I could shave. Thank you that I could, take a shower and shave. And thank you, I've got deodorant to put on. Thank you, God. I've been before, I didn't have those things. Hallelujah. God Almighty God. He said in John 1 and 14, John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. The Word. You understand? The Word. When he speaks the Word, he spoke the Word. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Not by man, but by the Holy Ghost. And had a baby. And the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus. Yeshua. Jesus. Yeshua. There's probably 1,000 times a day you'll hear that name. I thanked him for another day when I got up this morning. I thanked him that it was warm in my room, thank God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Pardon my language. When Pontius Pilate looked at Jesus face right face, he said, what is truth? The truth is what I'm telling you today. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. The same message I give in the prison, the same message that I give in the jail, the same words that I speak when I get up in the morning, I'm speaking to you today. It's important, brother, what we say. Before we go to bed, I'll hear this. I love you. I say, I love you too. That's my wife. Because my grandmother said, This is good. I'll just come back here, bless them. He said, before you go to sleep, give each other a little peck on the cheek and tell them you love them, because you might not wake up. So I want to praise him while I've got breath. I want to thank him while I've got breath. You see it all over the place. He said, if you've got breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I do it in the car. I said, some people think I'm going a little crazy. Yeah. Some of the cops think I'm a little crazy too. Some of them don't. Some of them do, because I lift up the name of Jesus. And he did it all. Why would you not want Jesus in your house, in your car, in the hospital? Wow. I told that guy yesterday, the doctor was working on me, and I said, I'm praying for healing. You say things are going on in here, and it's still going on, whatever that is. But I said, I'm thankful to have a head. Because I got a nick right here where something went over my head and didn't tear it off. I said, do you know how thankful I'm just to have a head today? I said, I looked one day, I come in and I got drank out of my canteen and had a slice on the back of my canteen that was on this back side here. I said, thank God he didn't hit me. I'd have been walking like this. Do you understand what I'm saying today? It's a joy to love God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Psalms 105, you probably know these verses, but he said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. I can't see where I'm going with things, but I'm declaring my healing. The doctor said, you got to have surgery. I said, no, here's a light. I want a healing. You need surgery. I want a healing. The word is, does this make sense? I'm speaking the word back. I love you, but I don't want surgery. Oh, we'll just go in there. It's like an auto body shop. You fix your carburetor, and then we'll work on the muffler, and then we'll take. Now, if you've had surgery, don't get mad at me. I don't want it. I want to tell people, God heal me. You understand what I'm saying? It's not Gary. I want people to say, everybody know Mark Kendall? I love Mark. He retired over there and I cried. My mechanic retired on me. He called me up and he said, what's going on over there? What's going on in Seymour? He said, your sister stood up in Crowlesville Church and said, my brother's healed. What's going on? I said, I'm telling you, I'm healed. The Bible said if you're like the sea and you're just back and forth, you'll just be pushed around and you may not have a healing. But I'm declaring to you today that I'm healed, that God will get the glory. Not a doctor, not a nurse. I wished I had better words. But it's God that gets the glory. And all he wants to do is look at you today and say, do you love me? Did he not say that? Peter, do you love me? Gary, do you love me? I tell you, I broke the other day. Maybe I'm getting old and sensitive, but we were in a prayer meeting at church, and they said, pray for this young man. And I know this young man, and he's kind and considerate and a great help. But suddenly he'll change and become so disrespectful. And they said, Gary, you know him, pray for him. I started to pray, but I broke. I began to weep. I began to cry. And I was kind of embarrassed because I'm in a room full of people and I began to weep. So I covered my face and I was crying. I couldn't talk. And I didn't understand. But later, after the meeting was over with and I went home, what was happening in Gary, I began to feel the pain in everybody in the room. Have you ever felt that? probably with a family member. You know, they called me up one night about midnight and said, I got bad news. And I said, what? Midnight's always bad news, it seems. He said, your boy has died. I said, what? Well, I didn't know how to feel because they woke me up and it was midnight. And then I got up and I ran out in the middle of the field. Everybody know where I live? There's a field across from my house. Those three big crosses in the field. I ran out of the house, ran, weeping, and I got to the cross in the middle and I grabbed it and I hugged it. I'm just talking about God. He said, I'll never leave you nor will I forsake you. But in that time, I thought, what am I going to do? And I grabbed that cross and I began to cry and I said, God, if you don't help me, I think I'm going to die. And all of a sudden, brother, from here come the wind, and the wind came up and hit me and went right up me and right up to the cross. And I felt better. I was still crying, but I felt better. It's like, it's okay. I know what's going on, but I'll help you through this. We had a tent up in the field. We were going to do a tent revival. We got bands are coming and songs that are going to praise the Lord, and my son's dead. What do I do now? And everybody came and gathered around me and my wife and said, we'll help you. We're going to go on and have church. His wife called me. They was down in Florida. And she said, it's okay. When you're done with your tent revival, come to Florida and we'll put Kelly in the ground. A lot of people wouldn't understand that. But we went on and had church. We praised the Lord and people got touched. Some got delivered. Some got baptized. Amen. And then I loaded up the car and went. Dealt with the things of the world. I'm not lifting me up, but I'm lifting up. Thank God that He helped me through these things. We got about 3 minutes left on the radio, and I pray you're still listening. We love you guys out there in radio land. I wish I could see them, you know. Some of you think, is anybody listening? Well, I went in a place of business. The first time I was here, I went in a place of business. And I walked in and I ordered something. And the lady, she said, I heard you on the radio. I said, you did? She said, yes. I said, well, how did you know it was me? She said, I'd know that voice anywhere. I said, oh, God. See, when I hear myself talk on a tape, I said, that's terrible. Sounds like a Kentuckian, which I am. Y'all didn't know I was born down in Kentucky, did you? Maybe, I don't know. Way down south, right on the Tennessee line. But you know, my grandma and grandpa was God-fearing people. They loved the Lord. Didn't have a whole lot, but they loved Jesus. And that was the most blessed place I've ever been in as a little boy was in Grandma and Grandpa's house in Kentucky because they loved Jesus. I still miss it. I can close my eyes. I can see it. I can see the old big house, the community well here, and the one-pump gas store, gas thing over here. Amen. The 14 acres of tobacco. I still see it in my mind. Hallelujah. But one day I want to run across that river, they say, the Jordan River. I want to run across there and say, hello, Jesus. Thank God I've made it. Praise the Lord. And I want to be dragging somebody with me. Come on, I didn't get out of that battlefield without dragging somebody with me. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Vietnam, but I want somebody to, either you drag me in there or I'll drag you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We got a minute and 15 seconds left on the radio, and I'm going to be quiet. But I want to thank you for coming today, making an effort to get out. Is that okay? And I speak a blessing over you today, spiritually, physically, mentally, and financially overwhelming. May God bless you and your family. May He bless your husband or your wife, your children. And I pray for my grandchildren, my children's children's children that are to come. I'm praying for those. You say, well, Jesus is coming back. I know, but I'm praying for my children's children to be saved. While the one's coming down the road, I'm still fighting this good fight of faith. And that's what he said. Fight the good fight of faith. I got a lot more scriptures. I didn't want to hold you a long time. I know it's... I didn't want to bore you either. Has it been good? Can you understand the word that I've been going through? I've been taking the word with me. I pray for my wife the same way I do myself. In these last 5 seconds, God loves you, Jesus loves you, and He will never leave you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, brother. We're out of time. Thank you, Radio.